We find ourselves at an interesting time in the life of our congregation. We have begun engaging in fuller and more unrestricted schedule. We've returned to such normal activities as potlucks and communion by intinction and passing the plates for the offering. Many of us are traveling or making plans to travel again in the near future. Zoom is now a useful tool of convenience, most of the time, instead of a stopgap necessity. On the surface, it looks like things are returning to normal. But the more normalized rhythms of our congregational life are situated within a wider context of a world that's not exactly the same as it was pre-pandemic. Our communities show the strain of new fault lines that have developed and existing fault lines that have deepened during our pandemic years. Each one of us could probably add items to a list of how our lives are different now than they were a couple of years ago. All of us could enumerate different ways that normal right now isn't the same as normal before. We are changed people living in a changed world. And while we can all quote truisms like change is the only constant in life, I will say for my part that the rate and the scope of the change that we've experienced since early 2020 takes my breath away. So, we are in a time that in some ways looks and feels pretty normal. And in other ways, it sometimes feels like we can't quite get our sea legs back. Life, for some of us at least, is an unsettling mix of sort of normal, and we'll call it normal-ish, and downright strange. I say all this because it forms part of the context in which we're trying to be the church, followers of Jesus Christ. So even if you or I aren't experiencing this kind of disorientation and confusion, or feeling that part of life is just still a little bit off, some of our neighbors are. Persons in our congregation or out in the wider community are experiencing this new normal that isn't quite normal. To be the church, to be faithful followers of Jesus, means that we take this seriously and we follow Jesus' lead in engaging with this context. It means asking ourselves if and how we are listening to the voice of our shepherd in our not quite normal, new normal world. Today's gospel lesson plays with the idea of context to make a point about who Jesus is. The text places us in the month of December in Jerusalem, the festival of dedication, which we now know as Hanukkah, is taking place. Jesus is in the temple precincts. He is in Solomon's portico, or Solomon's colonnade, or Solomon's porch. It goes by all three names. This sat on the eastern side of the temple, and it would have been the most sheltered area in the temple during winter. The festival of dedication, or Hanukkah, is a celebration of the cleansing and the rededication of the temple and the altar in 165 or 164, dates vary, by a group led by someone named Judas Maccabeus and his brothers. They liberated Jerusalem from foreign rule by the Syrians and cleansed the temple and the altar after it had been intentionally desecrated by the Syrian king Antiochus Epiphanes. In this context, then, during this festival that celebrates a military victory and a victorious leader in Judas Maccabeus, it seems likely that Jesus' questioners in our text are thinking something like, "Tell us, Jesus, are you a new Judas Maccabeus who will lead us in throwing off Roman rule?" When they demand that Jesus tell them plainly if he's the Messiah, I'm guessing because of the context, because of when it is and where they are, that must be in the back of their mind. Now, we should note that not all Jews expected military Messiah. Jews in Jesus' day had many different opinions about and hopes for what the Messiah might be or when the Messiah might come. And some didn't believe that there would ever be a Messiah. So opinions varied. But the context at this festival and on the temple grounds makes it likely that that's what these questioners of Jesus are thinking. Jesus' response wouldn't be satisfactory for them. He replies that he's already made the issue clear. He says that both his words and his works testify to and clarify who he is. For those whose faith enables them to understand and respond to what they see and hear. Those who belong to Jesus are those who hear and follow his voice. These are his sheep, the ones able to understand who he is by his words and his actions, and who respond in faith and trust. Jesus does not say that they could simply choose to believe and thus become one of his sheep. He also doesn't offer them a response that hinges on collating information in such a way as to build an argument and offer proof. Instead, he says that faith is the prerequisite necessary to understand who he is by his words and by his actions. The key to the issue for these questioners is not more and better information, but faith. It's this and nothing else that would enable their question to be satisfactorily resolved. Most of us can probably, in at least a small measure, relate to these skeptics of Jesus. Our lives are awash in information about everything. And we spend a lot of time sorting and sifting and organizing and testing the veracity of all this information. Many of us understand the urgency. If you're the Messiah, just tell us plainly. Lay it out, point by point. Inform us. Give us the data we need. Give us the data we crave. But to follow the Good Shepherd, to be part of the flock that hears, knows, and follows his voice, it isn't more or better data that's needed. It's faith, which we can't simply decide to take on as we would a new time management strategy. Faith is a gift from God that allows us to hear and follow Jesus, the Good Shepherd, even if we don't fully understand that faith or Him. We follow because by faith we know His voice and we understand that we can trust His voice. We follow because by faith we know that His voice and the works of His hands are our only source of life. Faith, that prerequisite for understanding what we see and what we hear from Jesus, is lived responsiveness to the Shepherd whose voice we follow and in whose hands we are secure. And this lived response takes place in the context of an ongoing relationship with Jesus, where we're continually listening for His voice and following where He leads. And here we return again to the issue of context with which we began. We're called to follow the Good Shepherd, to respond to His voice and His leading in this time and in this place. We have to pay attention to the dynamics that are shaping our world and shaping our communities. We need to understand that the new normal, whatever that's going to turn out to be, will not simply be a return to our pre-pandemic normal. The world has changed. Our communities have changed. And we have changed. Jesus promised that His sheep are secure in His and the Father's hands. Nothing and no one can separate the good shepherd from his sheep. Their security is in him. And because of that, the sheep can find the courage to move into new contexts where little is known for sure, into spaces where the new normal isn't the same as the old normal. We may or may not come to understand our ever-changing world. We may never be able to plot enough data points to feel that we have a handle on the changes that we continue to experience. But what we do have is the fidelity of the shepherd and his promise to guide us safely through any context, no matter how unfamiliar it feels. As a congregation, we initiated some conversations a few months ago at our leadership retreat. And those conversations continue to percolate in the various committees and ministry groups of the congregation. We are wondering together how we are called to be the church in this time and this place. This is a task for all of us as the flock, to listen together to the shepherd's voice and to follow his leading into new contexts for ministry and new ways of doing ministry. As the flock, together we know the voice. Together we follow his lead. As the flock, we listen in faith and we follow by faith. Thanks be to God that we do it together. Amen.